And now I invite you to stand as you're able for this morning's gospel lesson, which comes from the gospel according to Mark, a reading in the first chapter. Jesus and the disciples went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. They were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked the man, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of the possessed man. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. I invite you to join with me in a moment of prayer. Oh, Holy God, we thank you so much for this Sabbath day that you have called us together. And we thank you for the gift of your holy word and for the opportunity for your word to be proclaimed. And I ask now, O Lord, that you would be present in the thoughts of our minds, the meditation of our hearts, but especially, O Lord, that you would be present in the words of my mouth, that they would continue to be acceptable to you and give glory to your holy name. You, O Lord, who are our rock and our redeemer, our savior and our friend. Amen. During this season of Epiphany, our time from the Christmas tide until Lent begins on Ash Wednesday, we see in our assigned gospel readings little glimpses of the life of Jesus Christ. We get little snippets of who he is. Of course, Mark's gospel begins by proclaiming that he is God's son. But then as the narrative goes on, we just see little glimpses of what that means. 2 weeks ago, we learned of his baptism in the Jordan River, where the heavens opened up and God announced, "This is my son, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." Shortly after that, we hear that he goes by the Lake of Galilee and he calls four fishermen, Peter and Andrew and James and John, and simply says, you follow me. We hear that they do. They leave their nets and they leave their fishing boats. They leave their families to start off on a new adventure, a new journey with Jesus. They leave their old life behind to start a new life, a life that they will find their meaning and their purpose in, finally. This week, we see Jesus as a teacher par excellence. He's in the synagogue teaching, and he's teaching not in the way that the scribes teach, who are their usual teachers on a Sabbath day. For the scribes' teaching method was to quote the rabbis, to pass on the tradition of what had been learned, what had been taught through the ages. And so scribes relied on someone else's word to preach to the people. Jesus, though, depends only on the word of God. He has the word directly from the Lord. He has such an intimate relationship with God that as he teaches in the synagogue, he doesn't quote other rabbis. He simply shares the word from the Lord, right from his heart. And the scribes and the crowds are astonished at his teaching. But there's more to this teaching moment, because as Jesus finishes teaching, someone with an unclean spirit jumps up in the midst of the congregation. He's probably been over on the side. He's someone who lives on the fringes. He's on the margin of society. And he jumps up and challenges Jesus. Challenges not his teachings, but challenges, who is he? What is he about? What will he do? Jesus takes this as a teaching moment, and rather than ignore the man or to ask the synagogue guards to remove him from their sanctuary, he pauses. He acknowledges his presence. He listens to him. And then as the story goes on, we know that Jesus heals him physically by removing this unclean spirit, but also spiritually to have him released from the power of those demons. This is a powerful story about who Jesus is. He's a teacher and he's a healer. But it's not just about his words. It's about more than what he says. It's how he puts those words into action. The story of his teaching and the healing of the man with the unclean spirit go hand in hand. Jesus puts his words into action. His behavior represents the word of God as much as his teaching words do. We learn that Jesus is not a visiting lecturer. He's not someone you listen to and then decide later if you can endorse his teaching. Jesus asks folks to follow, and his action make his words real. Jesus calls us not only to emulate his behavior, but to be in a relationship with him, which is ongoing. It's not just one moment of amazement. It's not a call to be amazed at all. It's a call to a life of faith. It's a call to a life of faith. In this story, we see that the scribes and the crowds are wondering about Jesus' authority, his power. And we know that that comes directly from his Father. He's been given that gift as God's beloved Son. And so they wonder at that. They are amazed at that. And they've never seen one of their scribes ever remove an unclean spirit from a man possessed. And so the scripture says that Jesus' fame went from there. It spread far and wide throughout Galilee. And you have to ask yourself, what was that fame? What was Jesus' reputation? Are people admiring him because he's able to teach so well? Are people amazed that he can chase out the demons? Or are people wondering, is this truly the Son of God? Is this truly the Son of God? As is usual, every aspect of Jesus' ministry, his miracles, his teaching, his healing, raises many questions as they provide answers. And I wonder, will those crowds that are amazed, will they want to hear more? Will they want to follow this charismatic man? Do they fear embracing this new authority and power? Will they long for a relationship with Christ, or will they walk away reluctant to get too close? Is this the beginning of the downfall of the scribes and those who would denounce Jesus? Is this the seed of where they start to wonder who this man is? The Old Testament lesson for this morning is an obscure passage out of the book of Deuteronomy. Moses knows that his death is imminent. He knows that he's going to be leaving these Israelites who he has been with for at least 40 years. And the people are worried. The people are worried not only of who will lead them, but who will be their prophet. Who will be the one that will mediate for them between God and themselves? They're afraid of God. They don't want to talk to God directly. They've been afraid of God for years. And Moses has been the one who has been the spokesperson of the Lord. And he's been the one who has also gone to bat for the Israelites when they've not always been faithful. And so you can imagine their fear that Moses will leave them. Who will be the prophet to take their place? And God clearly tells Moses and tells the people that God will raise up a prophet from among the people, someone that they know, someone in their midst, someone who he trusts, and someone that they can trust. Someone that knows their history and knows their tradition. Someone that knows the ups and downs that they've had with God. That God himself will lift up that prophet. Many folks believe that these words from Deuteronomy look to Jesus. Jesus as the one and only prophet who speaks the word of the Lord and who is the mediator for all of God's people. Who is the go-between between God and humanity. And perhaps that's the prophet that God has in mind when he said these words to Moses. Over the years, between Moses and Jesus, and after Jesus, especially in the New Testament time, there were many false prophets. There were many who claimed to have the word of the Lord. There were so many, in fact, that the author of 1 John felt compelled to write these words to the people of God. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. Test the spirits. Discern whether the prophet is truly a prophet of God. I wonder if that's what the scribes and the crowd were wondering that day in the synagogue when Jesus taught, and when Jesus healed. During this season of Epiphany, we've also been focusing on I Am Second, stories out of the book written, put together by Doug Bender and Dave Sterrett. The I Am Second phenomena or way of living puts God first and calls us to put others above ourselves. Jesus would have taught the same thing. Jesus did teach the same thing, to put the kingdom of God first and to love one another as you love yourself. This morning, as part of the I Am Second series, we're going to show a video. And it's a video that is a witness from Michael W. Smith. Now, some of you might know Michael W. Smith. He's a Christian music songwriter. And he has 22 albums that have sold more than 10 million copies. He toured for a while with Amy Grant. And he's earned 3 Grammys and 38 Dove Awards. And in 1994, Michael founded Rocket Own, a ministry that reaches out to that kid in the corner. Michael tells his story of how, even though he had always known God, it wasn't until he had a relationship, a real relationship with the Lord, that his life changed.
I am Michael W. Smith, and I am Second.
That begs the question, what voices do you listen to? What voices of authority or power do you allow to help shape your life? I was reminded of the words of St. Augustine from his Confessions. You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in you. Our hearts are restless until it finds its rest in the Lord. When we have that relationship with God, we are able to put our rest of our lives into perspective, and we truly are second. Amen.